It's been called a catastrophe waiting to happen, and it's already threatened the Columbia River. The giant Hanford nuclear site in the southeastern part of Washington state was once part of the Manhattan Project that developed the atom bomb, then became a vast nuclear production complex, making plutonium, building experimental reactors for weapons research, and even power plant reactors in a project that went bankrupt in the 1980s. It is like some monument to forgotten history, except for one thing. It has become a dump for very hot nuclear waste, perhaps the biggest in the world. And earlier this week, a 20-foot by 20-foot roof of a railway tunnel gave way near a plutonium-uranium extraction facility where 177 tanks sit underground. The U.S. Department of Energy says no radioactive release was detected. Paul Carroll is director of programs for Plowshares Fund, a global security foundation, but he formerly worked at the U.S. Department of Energy. Paul, how reassuring is that statement from the U.S. Department of Energy?
I wouldn't take much reassurance in it at all. It's a standard sort of knee-jerk reaction. The quotes, you know, no workers were harmed, no radiation was released. This is something we've seen again and again over the decades coming from the Department of Energy. And so I would take it with a very large grain of salt.
What's supposed to be the resolution of all this nuclear waste and all of these facilities in various states of decommissioning?
Well, there's two fundamental challenges. One is how to remediate soils and waters that have already been contaminated. Very difficult to do. The main answer there is build a fence and monitor it and just let it decay. We don't have good tools or approaches to actually clean up soils and water. For the other materials, for the liquid wastes in those tanks you talked about and spent nuclear fuel and other types of solid material, the challenge is figure out a way to somehow neutralize them, make them less dangerous, and then find a place to isolate it from the environment. That's called Yucca Mountain, and it's not happening. Long story short, we've studied this big hole in the ground in the Nevada desert for a couple of decades. It's been determined both scientifically but also politically that it won't work. So we have no place to send all this stuff.
What's it like to work out at Hanford? At one point, it was this heroic, save the world kind of a place. Now, I mean, I can't imagine what it is. It must be so demoralizing.
I think you're absolutely right. In fact, there have since been laws passed sort of and recognitions of atomic veterans, they're called. This was sort of the forgotten army of the Second World War. If you weren't actually fighting in Europe or in Japan, you were at home building airplanes or building guns. And the Manhattan Project was so secret, people didn't know about those workers. And then in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, it was a heroic job. It was a place where you were the vanguard of the defense of the nation. You were helping nuclear deterrence. And then in the late 80s, when the Cold War ended and all of these facilities basically were shuttered, this was a forgotten workforce, tens of thousands of people, many of whom had been made sick by these jobs. So not only were they not the vanguard of the country anymore, but they were a lot like veterans who have illnesses or injuries, and they have sued literally to be compensated for that illness.
And we're going to make more of these as structures like this give way, producing accidents that potentially contaminate workers, even if they don't become some giant environmental disaster. And I want to talk about that in just a moment.
That's right. I have my own sort of it bothers me when you hear news stories that talk about, oh, our aging infrastructure, our aging weapons. Well, everything is aging. We're all aging. But when it comes to these facilities, I think it is a very appropriate adjective to use, because this is the race that we're in. We are in a race to figure out how do we make these places safe, protect ourselves from these dangerous materials, and do so before these structures that were built decades ago literally fall into the ground like we saw happen this week.
And in scientific terms, it couldn't be more disheartening for the people out there because, you know, unlike infrastructure around the country, in this case, you've got tanks that will last 200, possibly 300 years filled with toxic radioactive waste that has a half-life in some cases of 50 to 80,000 years. It's just untenable in every way.
Well, that's what makes this such a unique challenge. When we created plutonium, and let's be clear, plutonium is an artificial isotope. It's not something that occurs in nature like uranium. And so we created this material that's toxic, highly radioactive, and has a half-life of 24,000 years, roughly. In order for something to become safe, quote-unquote safe, or less radioactive, the rule of thumb is you need to wait 10 half-lives. So let that sink in a minute. That's 240,000 years. I think human beings have only been erect for, what, 50,000 years? So we started messing with something that we really had no idea how to deal with in the long run. And so you've put your finger exactly on the challenge. We are out of our depth.
What's the worst case scenario, and then we'll go?
Well, those tanks you talked about, a couple of them have had a lot of buildup of hydrogen gas, and every so often they burp. They have to release some of the gas so they won't explode. So the worst case scenario is we have a Chernobyl event in one of those tanks. They explode, and they spew liquid high-level radioactive waste into the atmosphere.
Yikes. Paul Carroll, Director of Programs for the Plowshares Fund, formerly with the Department of Energy. Paul Carroll, thank you so much.
Thank you.